This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana together
with Shazana. You're so excited, right, Shazana?
Super excited because we're having a really great discussion next. This week, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Sri Mustapha Mohamad, said that the National Energy Policy is in the final phase of development. Now, this policy was first introduced in the 12th Malaysia Plan, and it has the ultimate aim for Malaysia to be carbon neutral while achieving long-term energy security at competitive pricing.
So a key component of the policy is the natural gas roadmap that will guide the nation towards a sustainable natural gas industry. Several gas-powered plants are expected to replace coal-fired power plants for cleaner electricity generation. This transition from coal to natural gas is an important part of plans to reduce the intensity of greenhouse gas emissions by 45% of GDP by 2030.
However, coal to gas switching could be difficult, as seen in Europe with their current energy crisis. So can the national energy policy address the gaps in our fight against climate change while ensuring that we ourselves don't face an energy shortage? So to shed some light on this, we speak to Yin Xiaolong, Senior Research Associate from Khazanah Research Institute. Good morning, Xiaolong. Thanks for joining us. So how realistic will it be for Malaysia to phase out coal as an energy source? And what kind of investments are necessary to make that transition?
All right, thanks for having me on. In light of the climate crisis and local environmental issues associated with the use and burning of coal, it's very realistic, especially if we take the climate crisis seriously. The question is whether we need to phase out faster. The government's already committed to no new coal power plants from 2033. It was announced, I think, in June or July this year, and once again with the RMK tabling in Parliament later on in, I think, August, or early October, sorry. And the problem is we don't really have a very clear roadmap on how fast and how hard we need to go, right? Obviously, if we want to really embrace a sort of a sustainable energy transition, then it's not a question of just bringing on new energy sources. We fundamentally need to invest in energy efficiency to make our existing and future consumption of energy much more efficient, less wastage. And there are many gains we made as well in how we do heating and cooling and not just lighting. We need to bring on more investments in renewable energy. And we also need to have more kind of dynamic and sustainable industrial design and industry usage of energy as well. And this also goes into things like transport, if things like electric vehicles take off. One thing that will really help besides investment will be subsidy rationalization, because there's a lot of subsidies right now that encourage fossil fuel use and subsidize it. And they're far more than what goes to the renewable sector.
But how can this be enforced, as it also involves the private sector, without actually being detrimental to them?
There's a couple methods. One, which is a bit unclear, but it's in the works, and that's there's going to be a National Climate Change Act coming out. It's not clear what that will bring and what it wants to focus on, so we have to keep our eyes on that. Secondly, I think taking the lesson from elsewhere, there's things like Energy Transition Acts that cover both what is called a just transition for both firms and workers. What does that mean, the just transition? Well, you know, we recognize that, yes, some of the industries of the past are dirty in light of the environment and climate, and people need to move towards cleaner energy and cleaner sectors and cleaner production, but they shouldn't be left by the wayside, right? We don't want to repeat of, say, what happened in the UK with the coal mining industry and workers. So a just transition is to sort of thoughtfully and logically and in a very kind of structured way help them transition from, dirty to clean industries. So these kinds of acts can help provide certainty and protection for both firms and workers. But government policy has to be clear in this front.
So the minister talks about long-term energy security at competitive pricing, but also he wants to ensure environmental sustainability. So what is the right energy mix that Malaysia needs to achieve in the immediate and long term in order to balance those two competing priorities?
The only way to answer concretely the right energy mix is we have to answer how seriously does the Malaysian government want to take on crisis, right? And to take on the climate crisis seriously, that means you have to take the climate science seriously. And the science coming from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change from the United Nations says for the world as a whole, there really needs to be a limited carbon budget. Five gigatons, 50, in the next coming decades. that for us to have like a sort of like 50-50 chance of preventing dangerous global warming, right? So where to fit into that with our only 0.7% contribution to global emissions? And what kind of responsibility do we want to take? We're not really consuming sort of maximum sort of per person, per capita share of the atmosphere right now. How much of it do we want to take up? And design, what is the national carbon budget for Malaysia? And what is the energy plan that is consistent with that? And what is the energy mix that's consistent with that? I think if we just extrapolate current trends without reference to the climate science, then we're just kind of continuing a form of business as usual. Maybe we're moving to slightly less polluting energies than, say, coal, but we're maybe not responding in a robust and scientifically defensible way to the climate crisis.
Now, some say that natural gas is the transition fuel towards net zero. Does this play to Malaysia's advantage? And what investments and policies do you expect to see in the national gas roadmap that the government is currently developing?
I think natural gas is an important halfway house, but it's all dependent on how close Malaysia wants to get to zero emissions, right? Because when you talk about net zero, there's that kind of assumption that you'll pursue zero as much as possible, and where you can't, and it's not physically or financially or scientifically possible, then you net it out with some kind of offset, right? So how close Malaysia wants to get to zero right now, because we don't have a climate action plan. So we need to see that for the national gas roadmap or any other kind of policy to really have some kind of coherent joined up sense. And to what degree do we consider offsets to be legitimate, right? The idea of offsets is controversial in the sense if you're using like nature-based ones as well. At the same time, we have some legitimate offsets in the fact that we already have forests, which are our carbon sinks, and these are part of the net emissions that we report to the United Nations. So that shouldn't be discounted. But like I said, once again, we actually, you know, for the energy policy to make climate sense, we do need a sensible climate action plan for the country.
Should the national energy policy also mean changes to the net energy metering, or NEM 3.0? What should be the scale and structure of NEM 4.0 to drive for greater solar energy adoption?
I think we have to step back and look at how aggressive and ambitious we want to be in terms of solar energy adoption, especially in light of the fact that Vietnam in 2020, the pandemic year, managed to install 16 gigawatts of rooftop solar using a feed-in tariff FIT policy, compared to Malaysia's entire historical installation of renewable energy of close to 8 gigawatts. So more than double what we've done in all of history in just 1 year. I think the FIT that we used to have here, the feed-in tariff, used to be quite financially rewarding for solar energy owners and producers, but maybe that was too high a price to pay for existing vested fossil fuel interests. So that's why we shifted to the NEM. The first NEM wasn't really very rewarding. You got the NEM2. But the question, you know, if you want to go to NEM 3, 4 and so forth like that, you know, I think the question at the back of people's minds will be, how close does it really get to the level of reward of the feed-in tariff, right? I think, and this also goes into the fact that subsidies and also existing policies reward fossil fuel producers and users. You know, we don't need a level playing field as such, actually. You know, the fossil fuel guys occupy the high ground and guys are trying to struggle uphill. But what we really need is not a level playing field, but to swap it around. If you want to take the climate transition seriously, you need to, you know, strip the privileges and subsidies that are, you know, putting the fossil fuel industry on crutches. And you need to give those to the RE industry because it's a sort of environmental as well as a kind of humanitarian developmental necessity for us and also for the world to transition to more low carbon development.
So, Xiaolong, does our national energy policy actually align with our goal to be carbon neutral by 2050 then?
Well, there's the question, because we don't have one goal, we actually have two. There's a bit of a contradiction or some lack of clarity in the announcement so far, because we have a commitment, and you can find it in this paragraph in the Malaysia plan, that to be carbon neutral as early as 2050, but also pursue net zero 2050. The two are not necessarily the same thing, although they're often used interchangeably. If you look at it very carefully, net zero has been mentioned by the UN, the climate science reports, but not in, say, the climate negotiations formally. Carbon neutral is not. And carbon neutral tends to imply a far less ambitious pathway to decarbonization. It could actually mean that you continue to emit more greenhouse gases and offset the rest off down to zero, right? Then net zero assumes that you will go somewhere towards zero and then offset the rest. So that they imply very different trajectories and pathways. But this goes back to my point earlier about the fact that, you know, national policy needs to spell out a very clear roadmap of what is the pathway we're taking. Are we going to take a very rapid decarbonization pathway? Maybe that's high cost, higher risk. But then we offset the risk, future risk of climate and other kinds of maybe like carbon tariff penalties for our exports. Or do we take a very slow, laid back approach, but then we have to really rush to get to zero at the end? Or do we take something more judicious in the middle? We really need clarity. And honestly, the business sector and industry also really deserve clarity on that, because that is going to affect how they can plan their investments and strategies coming ahead.
Xiaolong, thanks very much for your comments. That was Yin Xiaolong, Senior Research Associate from Khazanah Research Institute, giving us a lot of food for thought on the shape that the national energy policy should take and all the considerations that need to be factored in determining how Malaysia plans its energy transition. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.